Okay, let me start by introducing myself. My name is Sarah de Jong. I'm a research fellow at the Open University in the strategic research area, citizenship and governance. We will start today with asking what this session is actually about. And this seminar considers the relationship between citizenship, the state, and civil society. And we thought it would be useful to start with a bit of a debate. So my colleague Tanda Bloom, who will shortly introduce herself, will represent the position that the state creates the citizen, and I will argue against it. Now, we ask you to take a moment before listening to our debate to think about what your own position is. So do you think that the state in fact creates the citizen, or do you disagree with that position? So just make a note of your own position, of what you think and why, before continuing the audio.
Hello, my name's Tendai Bloom. I'm a lecturer in the politics department here at the Open University. So for the purposes of this discussion, I'm going to take a strong position. And I'm going to argue that one could interpret T.H. Marshall as having shown us through time how institutions of the state in the UK, for example, have created new forms of citizenship, first civil, then political, and then social citizenship. And all of the institutions that facilitate this, arguably, are supported by the state, whether law courts or parliament or welfare state system, for example. In fact, one could argue that whether you see citizenship through struggle, through rights, through nationality, whether you think it's there because we're better together or because we need protection from each other, one could argue that you have to admit that citizenship needs the state in order to work. And slightly stretching what a writer like Michael Edwards says, we don't really even know what civil society is without seeing it through the lens of the state. The state is the civil form of society.
So thank you, Tendai. I will give you three objections against this position that it is the state that actually creates the citizen. And I will just take it from the last argument that Tendai put forward. And I would argue that that civil society is about so much more than just the state. In fact, civil society has often been a buffer against the state, for instance, to resist despotism of a state. I would also argue that what Tendai is overlooking here is that we can make a distinction between a citizenship from above, or a kind of passive citizenship, as Brian Turner would call it, and a more active citizenship from below. And if we think of that active civil citizenship from below, it's very clear that there's more to it than just the state. In fact, it creates an alternative space, which we call civil society. And then my final argument would be to look at the etymological origin of the word citizen. And we know that that comes from the city, the citoyen. And that, of course, refers to an ensemble of citizens enjoying rights within a city context rather than a nation-state context.
Thanks, Sarah. What do you think now? Have you changed your mind? Are there issues that you think we missed out? Of course, this was just a very quick debate, and the positions that we took were rather polarised. In fact, I think both of us would argue that the reality is much more complex than we presented. So now we'll think about why this kind of debate is important, and why the discussion about the relationship between the citizen and the state and the exploration of the nature of civil society is important more generally. Well, for a start, this complexity helps to show us why it's important to consider how civil society relates to the state and to re-examine the relationship of citizens.
And the concept of civil society brings also into view and helps us to make sense of politics with a small p, so to say. So the many ways in which citizens express themselves as political beings and contribute to a democratic exchange in associations, voluntary organizations, in school committees, professional associations, neighborhood collectives, trade unions, environmental pressure groups, soup kitchens, etc. Now, if you would ask me to give you an example that helps you to understand those ideas about citizenship, the state, and civil society, you might have heard that I already started listing some examples. So if you think about different ways in which citizens might express their dissatisfaction with certain state activities, this can be through public protest, letter writing, can be meetings, demonstrations. We see that these are kind of expressions of ways in which civil society, the state, and the citizen relate to each other. Now, there's quite a lot of discussion in the literature about whether certain civil society expressions should be associated with progressive ideas or can be associated with any political position. And some would, of course, call certain positions more civil than other positions. And we could have a second debate about that. But the next question we will answer is, how can we apply what we learn from the session in our doctoral work?
Well, no matter what your project, if you're developing a doctorate in citizenship studies or related, you'll certainly need to engage at some point with this triumvirate, citizens, civil society and the state. And it's easy to come at your project with the assumption that one way in which these interrelate and to develop your project with this in mind. But if you don't critically examine your position, there's a risk of missing underlying issues that are affecting your results and your analysis. Looking at some of the literature in this area can help you to explore other approaches and consider how they might impact on your work.